listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 1st, if you can believe it. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. I'm glad to be here as always.
So glad to have you, and so glad to have those joining us live. We appreciate you taking the time to join us, and I always appreciate catching up with you. And we appreciate your contributions. And thank you to those that take the time to listen to us in the archives. We appreciate your feedback, your emails, and we just really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy week. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, on to tonight's topic. I'm really looking forward to this one. It's going to be very interesting, a lot of facets. How nature and nurture shapes our reality. And Dr. Vicki, this is, shout out to you for this great idea, but I'm really looking to digging into this.
Well, you know, I think we have talked about nature versus nurture in previous shows.
Oh, sure.
I think, as Michael and I talked before the program, everyone, I'd like to contemporize it because never has it been so obvious about the different types of realities we live in, I think, as it is now. And so I thought, let's talk about how, individuality and the environment, kind of reflects our realities, and or even vice versa, reality influencing the individual and contributing to the nurturing. So just to back up for a second, nature versus nurture. Are we born the way we are and that carries through? Or are we a blank slate and it's completely environmental? That has been the ever-present question. So go for it, Michael, because I know you have some things to say about that one.
Well, I think that really parlays into the idea of genetic memory, I think. How much of our past, of our ancestors, do we carry with us? We've talked about this before, too. But when we talk about nurture and nature, I think we can all come to the agreement that there's a balance between the two. But, when we talk about nature, it's, instinct. But, Dr. Vicki, I think you've told me before that you've read or you've heard that genetic memories tends to go back about 8 generations of
14, actually. Science can determine, it's called epigenetic memory, that we carry, that science claims we carry at least 14 generations of epigenetic memory. Now, if we think of what is that, how do we know how to suck, you know, when you need to feed? How do we know to do certain things? So those are basic instinctual patterns. It's also carried down through genetics. It's no different than looking at animals giving birth. How do they know to do that? How do they know to clean up their young? How do they know, you know, so it's very simple in that way. How does a bird know how to build a nest, you know, without being taught how to build a nest? So we kind of instinctually know how to do things, and that's in our genetic makeup. So there are other things, though, such as cellular memory that we carry down that can be emotional memory. So it's not just, you know, basic organic instincts. It's also, you know, from, gee, you know, you not only look like your great-grandfather, but, you know, you act like him. Mm-hmm. Or you have certain inflections that are just like him, but you'd never met him. You know, so those kinds of things can be passed down also. As metaphysicians, I have to believe that it's time immemorial. You know, we carry basically the beginning of time in our genetics, and we're ever growing and changing and evolving. But science can actually go back 14 generations, they claim.
Well, that's very interesting. And you talk about, you know, cellular memory. I think one fascinating thing about about evolution is that it's not shaped simply by random mutation. It's also shaped by behavior. That we found that a lot of environmental factors go into, you know, reproduction. So a lot of the, you know, in terms of what environment are you living in, you know, those details do go through the DNA into the next generation. And it influences, you know, their physical characteristics. So environment, behavior, you know, affect that. We're talking about, you know, nature versus nurture. And I think that that leads into how do we evolve and develop. One of my favorite examples is a long-term study they did in Russia using gray foxes. And what they would do is they would, you know, capture, you know, maybe 100 and they would go up to the cages, and the ones that were friendly, they would take those and they would breed those with other foxes that had the same behavior. Over the period of a few decades, they noticed that, of course, they began to act much more like dogs. They also changed in their physical attributes. The shape of their brain changed. So we can see that, you know, nature does have an influence on things, but it's also, you know, the nurture, the experiences in life that kind of go into that. And then, of course, you know, one of the big facets and one of the things that you're talking about keeping contemporary, I think perception.
Yeah, perception's everything. You know, I'd like to bring up something, too. And everybody by now, I'm sure, knows about Cody Lee. Great, masterful musician, vocalist, who is blind and autistic. He's been on America's Got Talent, blah, blah, you know. He's brilliant. Now, there's a lot of, let's say, limitations for Cody when he was born. But in the nurture part, somebody caught on to the fact of music. He actually has a photographic memory for music. He can learn a song in less than 5 minutes. He's now writing his own music because he's been nurtured. So he had a type of brilliance that was acknowledged, and, you know, kudos to his mother and the family. Wow. And they continued to nurture that. Now, in most other circumstances, he would have been, you know, left to a limited environment that wouldn't have allowed the nurturing of particular gifts that he has. So I think that the nature versus nurture is demonstrated clearly in kind of a reverse where we think, oh, you know, you're born normal and healthy and have all these things, and what, you know, what is the nurture component? But when you take somebody who's clearly born with limitations and diversities and given this extraordinary talent that's nurtured, I think we can see it clearly about nature versus nurture and, you know, and kind of where we're at. And of course, he continues to do extraordinary things, setting a great example for other communities of diverse learning and You know, it's just such a contrast, I think. So who would I have been had I been born into a different family, for instance? Mm-hmm. And that's a question that I've asked myself. Where I came from, girls were not expected to go to school, like certainly post-secondary. Most secretaries prior to World War II were men. And then during World War II, they became women because men went to fight. And then so it that was the most that a woman could hope for. So women, and I even heard that from my father, I was not expected to go to post-secondary. Only the only education fund was set aside for my brother. And so there's that environmental, again, condition, those limitations. I never did go to post-secondary school until way later in my life. And so it's kind of set up for you. Of course, I financially couldn't, you know, I didn't have the means to go. But in my nature, see, being a borderline mm-hmm. dyslexic, had I been given the tools that I later learned in life, you know, had and could have gone into post-secondary, what would life have looked like? And that's in no way to say, geez, poor me, I wish I had a different life. I'm only saying it as a possibility about not what I wasn't given, but more about what could have been given. Mm-hmm. Do you see? So that then I see about my nature as I've grown and changed and living into my own kind of fulfillment and my own potential in that way. So had these potentials been nurtured at a young age, it would have looked very different. But then it speaks largely to environment, Michael. Mm-hmm. What kind of environment are we being raised in with certain prejudices, biases, limitations that can be religious, economic, cultural, it could be geographic.
Oh, absolutely.
It could be as simple as, you know, a family had done really well and suddenly lost everything and they're all impoverished and on the streets. We saw that, you know, during the Dirty 30s where yeah. you could load up a truck and go pitch
I've
a
heard
tent.
That term
it
before.
Was perfectly fine.
Yeah. And well,
that's what they called it.
That still happens today. And, you know, you talked about geographic location. You know, that just makes me think about religion. I mean, look at the odds and probability of what religion you are based entirely on where in the world you were born.
Mm.
You know, and religion is, you know, a set of philosophies and, you know, dogma and cultural influences. That has a big impact on who you are. But, of course, we come back to the balance. You know, there is free will. You know, I don't believe in the concept of determinism. And so, but it's a give and take. It's a balance between the two.
Well, what if it was determined that you could pretend to have free will?
Well, then we did a good job.
Hey, listen, I just want to inject here. Dr. Edward has said Dr. Bruce Lipton did a lot of research on epigenetics, which proved that we are not enslaved to life, to our genetic expression. We take for granted that it was only a few decades ago when genes were fixed. He met with a lot of resistance from the established scientific community, but thankfully his concepts won out. So I just wanted to share that because I know we have live listeners who are reading the chat, but we have folks in the archives who are listening. So that's a good point. So thanks for that, Edward.
Absolutely. Great shout out. And that's a great point. But it's just so interesting, you know, the vastness of possibility, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
And I think we've talked before about when you believe something to be true, you might be blind to the truth when it comes to you. And so I think that's the, you know, kind of nurture aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Although we do have predispositions to behaviors. But again, the nurture, the geographic location, a lot of times will determine your religion and often how fervent you are in that, and that does shape a lot of what you perceive to be true. And, you know, we were kind of exchanging quotes before we went live, and one of my favorite sayings is we're not affected by reality but our perception of reality. And that just comes right back to it. I mean, I think nature, nurture, determinism, free will, it is the, you know, it reminds me of the saying that my father, Dr. Kelly, would say, is that we have free will, but we choose from a menu of options, and our perceptions, mm-hmm. and that the way we view the world determines what's on that menu.
And we live now, which brings me to what, you know, how I began off the onset of this program, is today we have so much disinformation.
Mm.
And I was telling Michael before the program, everyone, that in today's news, March 1st, reading Canadian headlines, you know, according to Canadian researchers, we may never know the origin of COVID. And I kid you not. There's three different news sites I went to. They all said the same headline. I go to U.S. and BBC headlines, because this is like a little hobby of mine. And it says COVID began as an accident out of a Wuhan lab in China, because there was two cases prior to the outbreak of COVID from employees who caught COVID and were hospitalized, according to FBI leak. You know, and I thought, okay, this is again the perception of reality. Because if you live in Canada, you're going to be told this, and if that's all the news you read, that's what you're going to believe. If you're in the U.S. or again, I'm qualifying this, and Great Britain, which is running that same headline, you're going to say, oh. So there it is, China, out of a lab, you know, and but which is it? See, that's, I mean, we are nurtured by our perceptions of reality that may or may not be true based on certain information we're given that may not be facts at all. It's all these speculations and twists and turns, and whoever you are and whatever reality you live in is going to be attracted to certain information that you're given.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're going to be set to believe, kind of thing.
And, you know, that's such a good point. You know, our sources of information largely determine what we perceive to be true. And I think you have to come back to it with, you have to take everything with a grain of salt.
Everything.
Absolutely. And I think also, just because something is possible does not mean it's true. I mean, life is infinite diversity. There's a, you know, hypothetically an infinite multiverse of different scenarios. So somewhere it's probably all true. But that being said, you know, kind of coming back to, you know, the keeping it contemporary, I think we were talking also about the, just kind of the energy and the anger that kind of permeates a lot of places in the world right now. And
I know, and I've been thinking a lot about that one, Michael, and I think when we're talking about nature, nurture versus what shapes our reality, there is another factor here about, you know, individualism in a way that I really do think there's a lot to be said for crappy water, crappy air, crappy food, but also we are now post-COVID, apparently. Because trust me, COVID's everywhere. But, you know, in that post-COVID era, and there's a lot of frustration. People want to return to what the normal they knew prior to COVID, mm-hmm. but the world has changed. So now you wake up post-COVID, you have inflation, rising costs, you know, rent's gone up, your mortgage payments double because interest rates are crazy, and life is not the same. So you want this normalcy, but you're angry. You're frustrated, but you don't even know you're angry until you're in situations that trigger things. And I think there's a lot of entitlement that runs around.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Entitlement. So, you know, although he's quite controversial in the news, I really like him, Jordan Peterson. And he's very clear about his stance on individualism and what that is. You can think you know who you are as an individual, but you're really an individual in transit because you don't know how you're going to be tomorrow in that circumstance where you've never met it before. So I think in my core, I know my nature, basically who I am, but do I know – kind of what I would be in a circumstance I've never had before. And that's going to change my own perception of myself. Now, that being said, I know Tabitha just wrote, I think people are grieving the loss of the life they had before. So, okay, and I can appreciate that. So what is it with people who are behaving badly versus ones who are very aware to make sure they don't behave badly? So let's say this group of people, you know, people who are live in the chat, you and I, Michael, we are consciously choosing to not behave badly. And what's the difference between us and these other folks that are behaving badly? And I really think it comes down to that self-awareness, that checking in with yourself and who you are, the ability to critically think, deductive, inductive reasoning, you know, basic understandings of, you know, cognitive dissonance, even though there's lots of us who have it, we don't know we do. But I think that self-awareness, for instance, if I go to the doctor and I get a medication and I know that's not working for me, I might look to alternative things because my mind is open and, you know, I'm kind of looking. And other people are very adamant about, no, only my doctor. But do you know the pills you're taking? Well, I trust my doctor. Well, why don't you think about a naturopath? Well, I don't know what they're giving me. But you don't know what your doctor is giving you either, you see? So there's this inability to connect the dots in a way, and where we're, putting our life and, whose hands, so it's like giving up that responsibility rather than taking it. So that's kind of how I'm seeing it, is people who are a little more self-aware. I don't know, Tabitha says, speak for yourself, Dr. Not quite sure what she meant by that. But I think it's when you are aware, you know, self-aware. I know when I'm starting to get a little short-tempered. I'm very aware of that because I can feel it. I don't have to do anything or act out to know that I'm feeling, I think I better go home for a day or two, and just recalibrate myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
But a lot of people don't know that. See, it's like road rage. So it's, you get mad because somebody parked on the line. And then there's videos going around of somebody parked on the line. And like, what is that? That there's this big ordeal. So I think that frustration, and that becomes a contaminant because there's no consequence to an action. And that goes back to nurture and how we're in an environment that doesn't, and I think technology adds to that. But in social media, because you can behave badly and there's nobody smack you upside the head. So it's inconsequential to behave poorly.
Yeah, and that's, I think.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and your point. The anonymity of kind of a lot of online discourse kind of brings about the ability to act without consequence, which reveals kind of the, inner self in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But it's, we talk about the anger that's kind of permeating, and it's been brewing for a long while.
Yeah.
It is an interesting contradiction that there are these just random outbursts of violence, and predominantly, right now in the United States, of course, but you do see it with, not as fatal, but knife attacks and things in other places, and not as common. But the irony being that we statistically live in the safest time to be alive. There are fewer violent deaths per 100,000 people than there ever have been. But I've thought about it too, and I think that the environment, kind of the nurture, I suppose, or the experiences and things. Well, I think that there is kind of a innate, violence in some, especially that comes from the nature side. Things that they have this aggression that, and they don't have an outlet. It used to be you could, more easily join a gang or the mob or something, and you could, act out that way, or, you know, more common to be in, you know, the military. Just, there were more, there was more violence, but it wasn't random. It was, you know, people died, you know, in gang warfare, or people died at a robbery or something like that. This is just, you know, what we're seeing now are these just outbursts of...
Random.
Exactly, random. And there's no materialistic benefit. It's all just emotion.
And that's the interesting thing about, we now have an environment that doesn't appear, and again, I have to, you know, say this carefully, that doesn't appear to have a consequence to behavior, except let's send prayers, you know. Oh, let's send prayers to those people, you know, for all the good that does. I mean, we do send good energy to people, but it comes down to behavior. I know Tabitha wrote in there, and I'm just going to have a little humor here with you, Tabitha. She says, I'm behaving badly, happy face. And I just want to say, well, stop it. You know? If you're behaving badly in a situation or a circumstance, you're finding yourself irritable, take a breath. So one of the things, and I've worked with a lot of clients with this, it sounds like I'm oversimplifying things to tell you this, but if you find that you're getting a little out of sorts or getting a little irritated, call your own name out loud, or even do it in your head. For instance, I would just say, you know, I'm starting to feel a little irritated, and just go, Vicky. And I come back in my body, it like shakes my reality. It's like coming back into myself. Because what I'm experiencing has nothing to do with me. I'm participating in it. Tabitha says I'm a party pooper. So, and sticks her tongue out at me. It's funny. So it's realizing that to get back to myself, just checking in with myself, and don't buy into, you know, it's like Dr. Kelly would say, don't catch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's don't buy into it. It's got nothing to do with you.
Absolutely.
So somebody's going bananas. The best way to deal with that, unless it's physical, of course, is stay quiet.
Absolutely. And then, you know, after, really? You know, after it kind of calms down a bit and it diffuses, you go out and you slash their tires. Maybe break a windshield or two. But yeah. Wait, I might have gotten off base. But that, you know, you know, Dr. Edward put in a great point, you know, talking about our awareness of violence and kind of a lot of random acts is that we are so interconnected, and we have the media and social media as well. Mm-hmm. When something happens, we know about it immediately. But that being said, since we hear about so many, it again kind of falls into anonymity. You know, talking about these random acts of violence, which is not really our main point tonight, but it just comes to my mind that... There are, in the United States right now, there are so many violent events and mass shootings that they've blended into one another and they don't stand out really as much anymore. And that's a tragedy, but it's also an irony because a lot of these people doing it have a need for attention and, you know, a sense of fame. But now there's nothing special about it.
I think in some cases, Michael, people are just short-circuiting.
Yeah.
And I think that... I think you have to have a predisposition to that, and there's no knowing of when that will snap. And I don't care if somebody's been diagnosed with all kinds of stuff, but you can't know if somebody's gonna go off the deep end, you know, and behave badly. Like, I know that axe murderers exist, but I wouldn't know one if I saw one. If that makes sense.
Well, that's true. So, I mean, we chat by video like every week, and you haven't caught on yet, so.
I don't. You know, unsuspecting people and things, because we are naturally, and this is where I want to come back to, you know, every human being is born loving and trusting. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to say that again, everybody, because a very wise Dr. James Battle said this to me, a child psychologist, ever so many years ago. He said, every child is born loving and trusting. It trusts it will get fed. It trusts, you know, that you won't drop it when you're carrying it around. You know, there is a huge trust factor in being cared for. That's what the soul, or, you know, the human being, however you view it, is born loving and trusting. It wants to feel love. Mm-hmm. It wants to give love. And it absolutely trusts. it's then, how is love and trust displayed, I think. So that nature of loving and trusting, and then what do I love and trust? You know, I'm not going to get fed when I need, when I'm hungry. I'm not going to get changed when I'm wet and cold. You know, and I'm not going to get a hug when I'm crying or consoled. And I think that those things are all part of the nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
And B.F. Skinner, you know, back in the day, who put his own daughter into a glass box to understand about environmental conditioning. You know, all her needs were met, put through a glass, and the arms would go in there, change her diaper, give her food. And, of course, she believed she was scarred for life.
Well, yeah,
because
you
she
think?
Didn't get that initial nurturing. So, you know, but this has been many of the argument, you know, much of the argument for a very long time. And I think very, like right now, I would say in nurturing yourself, no matter the environment, nurturing yourself is about calling your spirit back, knowing who you are, and not participating in the ugliness. That's what I want to say. Don't participate.
You know,
don't feed it.
That's a great way to put it. They say, you know, you are what you eat, and of course that comes to your soul and spirituality too, and that is with what you feed it. In this context, I'm just talking about the soul as our consciousness, the, you know, that thing is, that is more than the sum of our parts.
Mm-hmm.
And just like a tree, you know, if it's given sunlight, if it has nutrients, if it has rain, it will grow healthy. If the soil is toxic, if there's not enough nutrients, if there's not enough light, it will be twisted. And I think that comes to, you know, a lot of the nurture in life. But I also think that we as humans, we have the ability to find new sources of rejuvenation, of light. We can change our perception.
Absolutely.
And get that kind of rejuvenation. And
you know,
go ahead.
Sorry, Mike. If I can just inject here, and I don't mean to personalize this too much, but I was raised in a very violent upbringing. And, of course, that made me, I'm a little bit of a, you know, fighter by nature. I have a fiery kind of personality. But as I grew up, I thought that that was kind of the way, argumentative or, you know, being tough and a survival kind of thing. And I had to learn. I had to deprogram myself from aggression and violence and my mixed messages about what love is. Because we do associate those things to be loving as well as this, you know, other forceful kinds of behavior and dysfunction. We do, as a young child, associate that. And to unravel that programming and to build your own, that's the task. Who do I want to be? And I'm not saying that because I deserve any pat on the back. It's because I did that for me.
Mm-hmm.
Not for anybody else, is that wasn't the kind of human being I wanted to be. And I certainly didn't want to be that kind of parent. So it's but also not going as the pendulum swings, as they say. You know, become a passive parent, but
right.
Yes, I am who I am. And that was a whole process of discovery. And what I appreciated most about parenting is what I learned about myself as a parent. It wasn't what I learned from my kids, because I certainly did learn from them, but it was what I learned about myself as a parent. I had to call on stuff in myself I didn't know I could think of, and coming up with solutions and ideas and, you know, a better way. And that was in my nature to do that. You know, dismembering all this other conditioning, but also facing other conditioning that's in the world. So how do you stay truer to yourself? It's not an easy task, everybody. It's not, because we're always influenced by outer sources. So, but you decide who you're going to be. It's up to you.
Absolutely. We.
That's my speech.
It was a good one. I encourage it. You know, you're absolutely right. we have the measure of free will, and we can change our perception. Yes. We can grow our awareness. We can, you know, make the menu of free will a bigger one, you know. And
well, again, we're born into an environment where we could have free will. I'm not so sure I could say the same thing if I'm born into geographically a different country under different circumstances. But how I behave in that also, I guess, would really be distinguished with what is survival.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think also it is possible to have a catalyst through the, you know, the random chaos that is a lot of life that would increase your awareness, thereby increasing your free will even in a certain geographic place. And I also, you know, I know we're going to kind of go over time and we need to get to our inner oracle cards that we're going to pull soon and tarot cards. Yep. But one of the last things I want to come to, I mean, you made me think about it when you were talking about born trusting and things like that. Do you think that anybody is born a sociopath or worse, a psychopath?
I think that's entirely possible. Yes, I do. I think that I have met, I've met a few very young children or babies. So I say, oh. I go, oh. I think, first of all, let's understand that DNA and deficiencies that might lend to biochemical disorders or other dysfunctions, brain chemistries is there. I think there are very unlikable children, you know. So how then are they nurtured and in what way? It's hard to know, you know. We live in a culture where a lot of parenting is just, oh, man, it's so passive. One thing about
or the flip side, too much, but go on.
Yeah. Well, Jordan Peterson's, his quote is, don't raise children that you don't like.
That's a good quote. You know, I mean, Jordan Peterson, he's got some good lines. He's got some good thoughts. Yeah. But he's kind of a abrasive
I don't agree
person.
With everything, but I appreciate what he's attempting to do in a crazy world right now is get back to some kind of sensibility. That's all.
True. I mean, a lot of things he said I find interesting and provocative. But he's also kind of a Dickens, if you will.
Yeah, you can say that. So we're going to draw cards.
Yeah,
we're just going to do a quick segue here. Tabitha, she says, yeah, I'm a brave woman. No, I'm not, Tabitha. I'm actually quite a coward, to be honest. It's you either suck it up and decide who you're going to be or you die. It's simple. It's a choice between life or death. You either like who you don't, who you are, or you don't. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like who I was. Things I didn't like about myself? Okay, so what? Check out, try again in another lifetime, or suck it up and decide to do the work. Nothing brave about that. It's just factual.
Well, it takes a measure of tenacity. The easier thing would have been to...
I can agree
But
we have
all right,
first,
we do, Laura. For you, I have number 40. It's in the life skill suit, relationships. All right, diving right on in. Number 40. Healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They are not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are and not for what they believe. That means don't be judgmental. Otherwise, end the relationship regardless of who it is with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship, or to the relationship of one thing to another.
Well, and I got the Four of Clubs in support of that, Laura, and really, to me, it's the only marriage card in the deck. So what kind of promises are you making? So that, and rather than quote-unquote marriage, I see it as promises or obligations. So when you're making promises, what are they? Are they manageable, you know, promises? Are they sensible promises? And what are you getting in return for that? So I think it's just to look at that. That's all that's asking of you, is just to maybe take a look at it. Hope it makes sense.
All right. We have Dr. Edward next. He had thrown an eye in the chat. Obviously, Nikki was looking for a card and clarified. All right, Dr. Edward, I have a good one. Wild card number 7, hope. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
Okay, so the Six of Spades says to me that there might be, you might be feeling a bit of challenge right now, or something might feel challenging, but the Six of Spades says that there is a destination, like you can see the goal. So hope with that Six of Spades is keep going. The destiny is in sight. So even when you feel like, oh, wow, this is exhausting, hang in there. It's not much further. So take a rest, have a nap, you know, just take a break if you need to, but keep going. So there's something here that you're going to be really successful at.
Good advice. Yeah. Dr. Mike's next. And Dr. Mike, I have number 37. Groundedness. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes your claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions, and weigh them against facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all of the facts or have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found.
You know, two cards came out at the same time, Mike, so I'm going to say the 10 and 5 of clubs. So there might be something you're presenting or something that you're working on. It's not as hard as you think once you get the first line out. So it's about being grounded. You know, as a writer, the first line is always the tough one, the toughest one kind of thing. And once you're clear about what you want to say, it can just happen. So taking on the challenge, just have that clear thought, get started, and the rest will just flow.
Very good. All right, and we have Jamil next. I have number 31. It's in the service to self and others suit, sacred obligations. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations. Good card.
It is. And the Three of Diamonds in support of that, Jamil, Three of Pentacles, that place of faith, that place of prayer, that place of what you believe and what you honor. And so this is, perhaps it is that you're changing some of your feelings and views on what you believe in. So you just go down to the core values. What are your core values? And everything will grow from there. So if you're having a kind of a shaky moment of saying, ooh, you know, I'm not sure, just, you know, settle down and go to that very center of yourself, and the rest will just make sense. That's the message there, I think.
All right. We have Kathy next. I have number 22, think for yourself. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs, simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
Well, this is the Jack of Diamonds. I'm going to kind of go into a literal mode here in that it could be a matter of work, occupation, finance, what you do, and you know those moments, Michael, where you're told what to do, but you don't necessarily believe in it?
No? Yep.
And so you're thinking for yourself because you don't believe in it, but you still have to do it for the paycheck. And is that where you want to be in the future? So it's making kind of a decision about what you want to do, how you want to do it. So kind of setting steps into motion, I think, of being in a place where you can live in your own integrity in
Absolutely.
A good way.
You know, and I think that comes to my father, Dr. Kelly, his adage, you know, when it comes to preference, yield, but when it's principle, yeah, policy, or law, stand firm, you know, so.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. So I hope that makes sense to you, Kathy. Yeah.
All right. And Tabitha, so glad to have you. And I have a sequential poll, ironically. It's number 23 in the spirituality suit, meaning and purpose. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change a sense of, the purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, it is, what is the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific, of a specific situation. Good card. And I don't know that we've really ever pulled a sequential card like that.
Not for a while, that's for sure. Well, I'm going to kind of see a parallel between you and Kathy and this, Tabitha. Meaning and purpose with the Ace of Diamonds or the Ace of Pentacles is what you're doing, giving you that sense of purpose and meaningfulness and how you feel. So it's that, how do you want to earn a living? How do you want to do that? And it might be a bit of a juggle. So there might be things you want to do for yourself, but you also have to have this other job for the money. And I always say, be grateful for what gives you money, you know, because it puts food on the table and pays the rent. But you can juggle things, and it might just be a juggle for a while, but it's still giving your life that meaning and purpose, Tabitha. So it's that patience. You know, we want to jump out of this and dive into that. It doesn't necessarily work. There has to be a segue that's sensible.
Good advice. All right. And we have our card keeper herself, Wendy, next. And Wendy, thank you for what you do. A lot of new time card, first time cards tonight. Saw that Dr. Edward, you got that card on January 11th. So a little bit of repeat there. Wendy, for you, I have number 16, Continuity of Life. Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with the continuity and flow of day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter can begin.
I got the Chariot here, Wendy, and I want to say that a real duality came to me at the moment. So the first thing I want to say is, as we get older, we tend to know more about illness and death and so on, but we also appreciate the continuity of life. So that's part one of what I feel here. The Chariot is that you're moving forward and making decisions that are good for you in this continuation of your career, of your work, and how you're evolving. So despite what's kind of going on around you, and it kind of, it's sombering for a moment, you know. A friend of mine said today to me, oh, you know, so-and-so, she had a heart attack. And I said, you know, the older we get, we're hearing of this all the time. Mm-hmm. Somebody we know had a pacemaker. Somebody we know had this. And it's like, that's just the way it goes. That is the continuity of life, right? And the realities of life. But Wendy, so you might, I guess what I'm saying is, you might be shaken in one element, but the other is that you have this tremendous perseverance and you are in control of both forces, which is what the Chariot does. So you have that will of spirit to go forward in a really powerful way, I might add it. So.
Oh, very nice. I like it.
Yeah.
All right. We have Deb next. Deb, I have wild card number 9, blank. Drawing this, I know, good one. Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It's what you need it to be. It's all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices and in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within.
Well, two cards came up, Deb. The first is the 8 of Spades and the other is the 8 of Pentacles, and I find that really interesting. it's showing like you might feel a little bit confined right now, a little bit restricted, and your creativity might be feeling a little blocked at the moment. However, the blank card says, create what you want. Create what you will. And find an avenue or a venue that you can be this apprentice. Because in a word, that's what the Eight of Diamonds is. It's kind of learning as you go. So think of applying yourself to things you've not done before. And that's okay because you're learning as you grow and perhaps even as you get paid. So have that strength to, you know, and that determination to go where you dared not go before. What a Star Trek. I've had this Star Trek moment, you know, venturing. How does that go, Michael?
Boldly go where no one has gone before.
Exactly. And in this case, where Deb has not gone before. Simply.
Yep.
Hope that makes sense.
It's a good one. All right. We have Dr. Kevin next. I have for you number 23, meaning and purpose. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, it is, what is the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or lack thereof.
You know, we pulled meaning and purpose twice tonight.
We did.
That's interesting. For you, Kevin, the Ace of Clubs. Meaning and purpose with the Ace of Clubs. I don't mean to give... Well, I'm just going to say it. This is assured success. It's like you're on your way. You have...
Actually,
again, I'm not meaning to want to build up too much. What were you going to say, Michael?
I had to stop myself after you said that because I thought, wait, didn't I just pull that one? Because I had been checking on something and I had looked at the wrong card that I had down in front of me. And Wendy's right. I did just pull that one. I'm sorry. I was multitasking and not paying close enough attention. I pulled wildcard number 5. I glanced at the wrong card. My apologies, Dr. Kevin.
Well, let's see what that one says.
Wildcard number 5 is don't hate.
Well, okay. We kind of all know what that means.
Absolutely.
So without reading it, meaning, purpose, don't hate, Ace of Clubs. And you know what? It makes sense for what I want to say and maybe why I was hesitating. I want to say, Kevin, leave the past behind. Never mind about the past. You learn from the past. It's in the past. Take those lessons that you've learned. Move forward in a really good way. You are guaranteed success. And I know that's really me going out on a limb, but you are assured success because you now have greater meaning, a greater sense of purpose, and you're moving forward with a clean slate. So don't harbor any ill wills for any hardships that you may have recently gone through. So there we go.
All right. Good message. Pulled it together.
Oof.
Good job.
There we go.
All right. And final card for the evening, Zach Smith. Appreciate you joining us in the live chat. We had you last week, and tonight I have number 3, be who you are and walk your own path. Good card. I don't know that we've pulled this one a little bit. You are a uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind universal being, equally entitled to all good things, the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to take that best fulfills yourself.
You know, I got the sun here, Zach, and what I want to say to you is don't let anybody dim your light. So, and I don't know why I'm inclined to say that. Just be who you are. You know, it's an interesting thing. People will be very supportive of you until you separate from the group. Your successes tend to separate from or make you a little different. They don't like that. People like you to stay in the group. It's the tribe. So what I want to say to you is be who you are. The sun is all about growing and expanding, learning, and you're on your way. So it's your path is shifting now, and I think that's a great thing for you. So I want to qualify, Michael, when you pulled meaning of purpose for Kevin, I think it was appropriate, or when you said it, it was kind of like you were supposed to say it again because you were unconscious that you did it. And it's something that Kevin just wrote, wow, thank you. It's something that he needed to have affirmed, that don't hate, you know, as a secondary. I think that was unconsciously you were doing what you're supposed to do.
Well, I'll take it. You know, hey, anything that means I didn't make a mistake. You know, I remember, just a little aside, I remember when I was young and I would be having debates with my dad, I would, you know, say with kind of tongue in cheek, you know, I'm never wrong, I'm just less right. And
that's funny.
Yeah,
no, I think this was an inadvertent synchronicity, I think is what it was. So,
well, you know. Very interesting nonetheless, but...
Yeah, and you know, it's been a great night.
I've
enjoyed this conversation and enjoyed the cards for people. I think consistently what we have here is a group who wants to evolve and we all want to become better human beings. And I appreciate that about this group and coming here every Wednesday night and all of your participation. But we're all still living our individual lives, and that's what these cards tell us.
Mm-hmm.
We have, you know, this thread that binds us all. Oh, but each of us lives in our own little corner of the world, living our lives as best we can. So whatever helps is a good thing.
Very well said. You know, I really love this discussion. Don't have a topic yet for next week, but we are looking forward to some more guests coming up. So that'll be coming up here later. And just appreciate you. So, you know, I don't think I can think of anything better to say than that. And Dr. Vicky, any last thoughts?
No, I've kind of said that, Michael. I appreciate everybody here. Thank you.
I got that vibe, but I'm a creature of habit. So until until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.